For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
We're working with Clint here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is, boy. I tell you what, tough time to party in Texans land. Tough time to party right now.
We don't like that.
I mean, Tyler's dauber is down, folks. Aggies get curb stomped in South Carolina by my ass kicking chickens.
Did you find a
midnight to six, man?
Yeah, man. And the Texans go to New York and get skull drug by the 2-6 dysfunctional fire your head coach, drinking cayenne pepper and water.
Whew.
Quarterback. And boy, it's been a rough weekend, man. By the way, if you listen on the Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate it. If not, make sure you download it on your phone. Keep it where it takes us wherever you go. You can use that rewind feature. Heck, you can use it right now. You can catch a D'Amico Ryan's Monday presser, Monday media meeting with all the media. He spoke at 2 o'clock in our 2 o'clock segment today, so use that Odyssey app. Again,
was it Odyssey or something like that?
That's right, the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download that app. And plug in. If you're plugged in already, we greatly appreciate however the hell you're doing it, but make sure you download that Odyssey app. Got a little news on the Texans front, which this should come as no surprise. NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, reporting that among four offensive linemen working out for the Texans today, veteran offensive tackle Lyle Collins. Sounds like a TBD, to be determined on whether he'll sign there as of now.
Well, he had a stint with the Cowboys, didn't he?
Yeah, and too. Recently he was injured last year, so definitely a guy that's got a ton of talent. Now, whether he can hold it all together and get to a point where he can help this team if they do end up signing him, we'll see. But nonetheless, I think all we can ask as fans at this point in time is that they are working guys out, which tells me if they're interested in bringing guys in off the street, they're damn sure flipping stones trying to figure out if they can acquire an interior offensive lineman or any offensive lineman for that matter in a trade as well, I would think. So tomorrow's NFL trade deadline, what is it, 3 o'clock tomorrow, boys?
It is 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock tomorrow, so we'll have an hour to cuss and discuss and see what the Texans do. But if they're going to make a move in the trade market this season to improve this football team in any way, shape, or form, where I think the only frontline help that they just flat out have to have is an interior offensive lineman. Some folks believe otherwise, but that's where I'm at. If they're going to go get help, or if they're going to go get help in the depth department, they got to do it by 3 o'clock tomorrow if it's going to be via the trade. Obviously, these guys that they're working out are on the streets, and so they can do that at any point in time. But the big moves have to be made by 3 o'clock tomorrow, so we're inside that 24-hour window. Now, there was one announcement, boys, that was made a little bit earlier. Heck, it was made even by the Houston Texans, I believe, about 3 hours ago. The Houston Texans themselves, DN Jerry Hughes and cornerback Jeff Okudah, have returned to practice and have been designated for return. It's Monday before a Sunday night game, and these guys obviously are fully healthy, Ron. The Jeff Okuda sign, or sign, not signed, but the clearing him and him coming back and him being designated to play is absolutely huge for this football team. I don't think it could come at a better time if we're being completely honest. It is. I had cover corner in my, not quite in the same tier as need of interior offensive line, but I had cover corner as a close second to interior offensive line in terms of what this organization needed to go out and acquire. Now, if Jeff Okuda's healthy, I will take that. I will take a healthy Jeff Okuda, which would give this team options, big time options in obvious passing situations at the very least, Ron. If it's not more throughout a game, because this is a nickel league at this point in time. This is a league where teams are in nickel a lot more than they are not in nickel. And so within that package, is there a sub package for three true cornerbacks, which would remove Jalen Petrie from the nickel defender position? You either slide Kamari in or you slide Jeff Okuda in and you play match man. Now you can pressure. Now you got a better chance of covering everybody. I don't know if you move Jalen Petrie to safety because Jimmy Ward's been injured. Give a little help in that safety department. I would say he's probably a better cover defender than your safeties are at this point in time. So you can even upgrade two different positions with a Jeff Okuda move. I really like this move, Ron. I think it makes this defense not just better. It's obviously better because you got a cover defender in there versus a safety that's trying to cover folks. But Ron, you now have the flexibility to literally put a personnel package on the field that gives you a coverage advantage instead of the coverage disadvantage, which this team has played nine games with.
Well, to me, the big thing is you got to use him.
Sure, yeah.
That's to me, you got to, and it is a wonder to me if they feel like he is somebody they need to use. Now, it's obvious to me because the thought is if they feel like they got to use him, does that mean that he kicks Kamari Lassiter somewhere? Does that mean he kicks him off of being an outside corner, which they really like? Does that mean Jeff goes to the slot? They have to take the steps to play him because even as bad as Ross was, and obviously Chris Boyd isn't showing them enough, I think both of them are better coverage options than Eric Murray and Jalen Petrie. Agreed. Just in terms of coverage, not everything they can do. And they never, ever played them until they had to. And that was just the time that Kamari Lassiter was out. So hopefully you get Jeff Okuda back and it means that they are actually inclined to play him because somebody has to get off the field. I'm not saying they don't get to play or they're benched. But to me, having Eric Murray, who you put in coverage in the slot, and having Jalen Petrie, who you put in coverage in the slot, somebody's got to get off the field. Because somebody's got to cover a receiver when they're both on the field together. Somebody's got to come off the field. And Jeff Okuda makes sense that he would be a third corner. But to me, that just teams are lighting them up. And the better the quarterback and the better the weapons teams have, they will find ways to light those guys up. We saw Eric Murray have success against tight ends. Remember the start of the Colts game. I gave him my player of the game. They had moments with tight ends, but not this route.
Yeah, it's just the Jeff Okuda move gives you a big time, let's say upgrade, because I don't know how much of an advantage it is. We haven't seen Jeff Okuda play enough football yet to know where he's at and what he's doing. To be honest with you, he was injured so much in training camp, we don't even know if they think he could potentially be better than Kamari and Kamari play inside like they initially thought would happen. And then that shift changed when Jalen Petrie moved down a nickel. Like, I don't even have a good feel because Jeff Okuda's been injured so much. I don't even have a good feel of what they think is the best lineup across there and kind of what the rankings are of their cover defenders, of their corners. But it just simply put, I think on both sides of the football, like the two glaring issues, right, we should see The glaring issue on the defense side of the football for me was exposed this week. And I know that Aaron threw one ball completely out of bounds in the first drive where Devontae Adams, I believe, beat Stingley. Devontae Adams then dropped a ball where he beat Stingley on a go route. And then Mike Williams, I believe, dropped, or they threw it out of bounds or something. They missed again. So there is a cover defender issue on this football team. And then obviously I think the shining star of the cover deficiency is Jalen Petrie was taken advantage of, targeted and taken advantage of consistently. Again, I don't know that this is going to work. I'm not saying that Jeff Okuda is the end-all, be-all, and the savior, but I do believe that Jeff Okuda being in the mix with Stingley and with Kamari Lassiter is a much better approach, and it's definitely scheme flexibility now that you didn't have before. And to be honest with you, you weren't even remotely close to it before. Like, you were holding your breath hoping that Petrie or Murray didn't get matched up on somebody, where if enters Jeff Okuda, you can damn near dictate who ends up on who and predict the mismatches. Yes, absolutely. And you've got a lot more flexibility. So that again, I'm not saying that's the answer, and I'm not saying that you just go balls to the wall immediately in this game against the Lions, but I think we should see it. Right? Defensively, yeah. I mean, we got to see it, right?
But for some reason, we've just not seen the other. Like, they have not done it. They have kept those two guys and put themselves in a position where they're in coverage. Brandon text in, or Brandon on YouTube and Twitch. So people would be excited for Petrie to be on the bench while Okuda is out there.
Absolutely. In certain situations, yes. 100%. No doubt about it.
Him or Murray.
It doesn't make sense. But that's the other thing is even if you shift Petrie back and Murray's out, or if you shift Petrie back and Kalen Bullock's out, like, you've got more safeties in the mix as well. And the one guy all year long that's been working in a coverage, I'll argue the most difficult coverage position on the team at the nickel defender, is now a guy that can play safety, and in man situations, he can slide down on what you said, the fourth wide receiver, the tight end, a back out of the backfield. Now you've got an advantage there as well. So you've got options. You got flexibility. I'm not sitting here getting into a debate of who's better than who, but now you got flexibility, and you got options that D'Amico Ryans has been pretty damn good at exploiting and using those kind of things. So it's just one more weapon in D'Amico's belt, if you will.
My hope is that Jeff Okuda causes them to at least entertain it. Entertain the thought of another option in coverage.
All right, boys, that's a little positive for the Texans right there.
I know.
That old text line tried to get negative right there. I want to go positive on this reaction Monday. Jeff Okuda coming back off of IR is big, and look, it might be bigger than we think. So, because we really don't know who the hell, like I said, Jeff Okuda, I mean, he's been injured a lot. We don't know what he is or what they think of him or how they want to use him. I know this. I know he's a good-looking human being. When it comes to being the way you want a corner built and the way a dude can move, he's that. I know he's capable of making some big-time highlight reel-type plays. We saw that in training camp a couple of times. So you're talking about a guy that leans a little bit more towards having a ceiling like Derek Stingley Jr. Jeff Okuda has that. Now, can he play there? Can he play even close? I don't know. We'll see. But he's got that kind of superstar highlight reel type of ability, no doubt about it. We'll see what does for the Houston Texans. I'm Clint Sterner. That's Ron Ugly. T-Mills behind the glass on the ones and twos. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Boys, you know when you or maybe your wife posts something on social media and you don't expect the kind of response that it gets, but for some reason people are entertained.
Yeah, like when me and Megan had the matching undies. People freaked out. I didn't get it.
Yeah, the matching undies are good. The matching undies are good. Well, we've got an issue in my house, boys.
Uh-oh.
And Ron, the men's clinic that cannot help. It's not that.
No blood flow issue here.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're looking for every opportunity you can to slip that men's clinic in, but it's
Schwing!
I
slipped in there today.
Well, we can talk about it. I mean, because I like slipping in. We can talk about it. Yeah, we can talk
about
it.
I'm interested in hearing what the hell's going on in the Sterner house.
Well, you know, we've got to be honest with you. We try. We are a team, and we work together, especially in the mornings, having our job, having an afternoon show. You know, the mornings you can really help your wife. You ain't one of them hubs that just, nothing wrong with them, but you're not one of them hubs that gets out and boom, you hit the door at 6, 6:30, maybe 5, 5:30, and you don't come home until 5:30 kind of deal. You know what I mean? No, none of those. Being in this business, we can get up and help our wives with the kiddos. And we've got a burn the bacon problem in my house. And that's not code word for anything, Tyler. That's not like code word for getting a quickie in while the kids are eating breakfast or anything. It's not. It is like literally burn the bacon. I bet between her and I, and we probably cook breakfast probably pretty even. I bet we burn the bacon 75% of the time, Ron.
That's ridiculous.
Oh.
Now we both like it crispy, so we're not pulling the bacon out early, if you know what I mean.
I like crispy, but once it gets that burn on, I'm out.
But not black.
Damn near every time it is look in there, it's not quite crisp enough, put it back in expect a couple minutes, and then 5 minutes later you realize you done burnt the bacon.
Oh no.
Bro, my wife.
Breakfast sin.
My wife cooked breakfast this morning. I walk over there this morning, boys. There are 7 pieces of bacon on this sheet, and every single one of them is as black as you could imagine. You can't pick the fat from the meat. You can't. We have never burned it to where everything. So she posted it.
Get to scraping.
So bark on a brisket.
I mean, it's unbelievable, Ron. And she tried to eat it. She tried to eat it, and then let me tell you what.
Oh, no, she did.
I swear to you. She don't mind a good burnt piece of bacon now.
That wasn't burnt piece of
Ron,
bacon.
Ron, she goes, I said, why ain't you throwing that away yet, after we all ate? She said, well, I'm thinking about crunching it up and using it in
in a what?
I think it was like chicken salad or egg salad. I said, hell no, you better throw that away. So she took a picture of it, and I reposted it, and I said, in case anybody's wondering, this is bacon.
Come on, love.
I saw it looks like licorice.
The bacon, it does. The bacon is getting run on social, man. Y'all go check it out. At Clint Sterner on Instagram. At Clint Sterner on Instagram. Y'all go check out my babe's best work. My bride's best work. Burnt bacon low. It's on the story, by the way, at Clint Sterner.
You made sure she threw that in the trash, right?
I did not.
That up in her little tuna salad.
No, I'm pretty sure she did not. It was that's bad enough. Where
that was ridiculous. That's done. Like after, like you say, 75% of the time. I feel like after 40-50% of the time, when you get into just wasting bacon, like at some point we're gonna check it because I can see it get away from you a few times. That's happened to me. Got the bacon, I bang it in the air fryer. Walk in, I gotta get Nicholas going real quick or something. Oh damn! Come back in there. It's a little. It don't happen 75% of the time.
Yeah, well, you got a rule now in our house. Only I cook the breakfast.
Our bacon would qualify 75% of the time as burnt. Now, we still eat it. Today, it was... Today, Bear wouldn't eat it.
No, he wouldn't.
What the hell is that?
Dip a little chicken broth. He might.
Any bacon strips?
All right, some news from the Astros. We're getting close to a little hot stove season. Some news. With some guys, some of these guys, I'm telling you, I'm just not going to talk about. But the stuff that is important, we are like this Taylor Trammell fella. Some of the stuff that's important, we will talk about, especially Alex Bregman. Boy, they talking about potential projections on how much he would get this year. Boy, oh no, that don't sound like nothing in the Jim Crane way of doing things. We'll discuss all that coming up next.
Shout out to my guy Alex Bregman.
The Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As we get going here on a Reaction Monday, remember, we are out early as the Coaches Show with D'Amico Ryans gets going at 5 o'clock, so stay tuned. From that, you can hear him for a second time. He was on with us right at the start of the show, about 2:05. He addressed the media. The Astros are making some moves. It's around that time that you see that as they've lost some players. Trey Cabbage to the Pirates, Seth Martinez to the Diamondbacks. Those are ones that matter. Jose Urquidy, they have both been cleared waivers and are... Or Jose Urquidy is a free agent. They've acquired Taylor Trammell from the Yankees for cash. And those are the moves thus far. Also, this according to reports, Chandler Rome, I saw first with The Athletic. that the Astros have extended a qualifying offer to Bregman. Deadline is to accept or reject offer is set for November 19th at 3 p.m. And as Chandler also said in that, he will reject that. He will reject that to become a free agent. Now this does mean that the Astros still have a chance to be able to bring him back. They're just going to be now, it looks like, potentially competing against other teams to get his services. And we talked about it at the end of the year. This is a guy they need to bring back. Jose Altuve came out and spoke heavily, said he needs to be back. And Clint, Tyler, the numbers that are coming out about Alex Bregman, Clint. 7 years, $189 million is the projection for Alex Bregman, 31-year-old third baseman, who is, Clint, recently last night won the Gold Glove at third base and also is a finalist to be the Silver Slugger Award winner. Jose Ramirez, probably the front runner for that, but Alex Bregman showed to be one of the top hitting third basemen in the American League this year and the best defensive third baseman in the American League. All that coming off. 7 years, 189? I don't know about y'all. That feels a little rich for Alex Bregman, and it definitely damn sure feels a little rich for what it is that they normally do.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little rich for what Crane is normally comfortable with. But here's the interesting thing, right, is I think there's two guys in this organization that Crane is very, very comfortable with and wants to keep around long term. You mentioned one of them in Jose Altuve.
He's done that.
I think he is number one. He wants him to retire in an Astros uniform. Makes sense, right? We all get it. I think there's a number two, and then there is a long or a large gap between two and anybody else. And I think Alex Bregman fills that two gap. I can't help but think that when they went through all the trouble that they went through, adversity they went through with the sign-stealing scandal, who'd they push out there in front of all the media to represent the Astros in the toughest times?
Those two.
Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman. Both of which didn't seem to be the right choice, because it came out pretty clear that Carlos Correa had no problem being the face, the villain, the aggressor.
Right there,
no doubt, right?
Those two made it end up making it feel worse when they went.
Yeah, but those two guys are the two that Jim Crane and company ultimately said, and at the time Dusty, I believe, was here, and so those all of those very experienced decision makers said, yep, these are the guys. I can't help but draw some conclusions there that obviously Jim Crane thinks more highly of Bregman than he does anybody else. And so it may sound a little bit crazy, but you couple that with being one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball. Obviously a guy that we've heard people outside of Houston say nobody in an Astros uniform impacts this lineup the way that when Bregman's swinging the bat well, he impacts the lineup. I know Crane doesn't typically like those longer-term deals, and I think he'll shoot to get a five-year high $20 to $30 million a year deal done with him. I saw some different projections that were wider, ranging from 5 years to 8 years.
He's going to try to bring them years down. And
the amount up.
Yeah.
But if he does get to a spot, Ron, assuming, because we're not privy to any information like what ultimately ended up coming out with Carlos Correa and whatever knee issue or whatever the heck was going on that we weren't privy to.
The weird elbow thing.
Yeah. So assuming there's nothing like that in the background, I've got more hope with Bregman really than I do with anybody. I got more hope with Bregman than I do Tucker and Valdez.
See, fellas, if it's 7 years, 189, like, there's got to be something better we can do. Like, one, I'm trying to aggressively bring it down, right? But, like, if I can entertain 7 years, 189, I got to figure out what I can put together for Kyle Tucker then. Like, we could do something better than this, because, like, Unless he had a bounce back and maybe some other third basemen were down, Clint, but that was an extended slow start this year.
Agreed.
That was a real, and he, you know, he came on, and he did in the second half the year before, but he came on earlier the year before. To me, boy, that's just got to be somebody.
What do you think Tucker comes in at?
Oh, yeah. If it's a 7-year deal with Tucker, I mean, I would think we're in the mid to high twos.
Mm.
Maybe threes.
Mm.
Just, I mean, for a guy who's
in his
age, in his prime, swinging the bat the way he has, playing defense the way he has, and before this year didn't have really have injury situations. Yeah, I mean, I think he would be, if he's getting 189, if the projection is 7 years, 189?
Yeah.
My man made the All-Star team and missed a month. Plus, I think he would be a lot more.
You think that money would be better, more well spent with Tucker?
Yes. Or even if you're going to say, all right, man, we're going to run with Tucker. We got him again. We'll let it ride again. And I just got to believe they could get multiple players, at least two players that could, I think, have a big impact that could pay for what it costs to get Brickman.
Yeah.
To me, they could have that. And I understand what you're saying. He is, his swagger and what he brings to the table is something there. But boy, I just don't know that is the case. All right, Tyler's big bet's coming up, and something's off with this team. And there is audio that shows it, even new audio that potentially shows it. That's coming up next, right here live on the.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Tyler's best bet's coming up here in just a bit, and it's a big Monday night football game tonight, so there's some real action there as the Chiefs will take on the Bucks. Sure, that will make a big appearance in T-Mill's best bets. That's coming up here momentarily. Remember, behind us is the Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans. We'll get done here at 5 o'clock, and stay tuned for the coach. You don't want to miss what he's got to say coming up behind us in this really important time. Feels like the season is kind of at a crossroads right now with the Texans. And this was earlier today as Titus Howard was talking to Chandler Johnson of KPRC2. And he's out there being honest about what the offensive line is hearing.
I take it to heart, man. I mean, it's always like, man, we winning, losing. As an O-lineman, you know, when you got a quarterback like CJ, you know, we got to be at our best at all times. And so, you know, we see everybody, where everybody talk, we just got to be better. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we do our job. They won't be talking about us no more. So, I mean, that's a crazy thing about O-line. You just do your job. You just do your job. They don't talk about you. You don't do your job, you're going to hear it. So we got to just step up to the challenge and go out there and do our job. There's no, I mean, everybody got a reason to say something right now. We just got to put out, you know, listen to it. On what we got to do as individuals first and see what we can do as a group to fix it.
All right. I could appreciate that, Clint. It didn't come off to me as if Titus was saying that in a way of, y'all shouldn't be saying nothing about us. Like, you know, we're giving them reason.
to talk about.
Yeah, no, look, I thought it was good. There wasn't no, oh, this is an easy fix. It's all these bull jive excuses of you know, it was just, hey, we got to be better. We know we got to be better. And until we're better, people are going to continue to talk about it. It wasn't about we're misunderstood and everybody's too hard and it's this and it's that and it's about all 11 guys. It's not about us. I mean, that's exactly what you want to hear from your offensive linemen, from your one of your higher paid offensive linemen. That's what you want to hear. That's what you hope to hear from them. So yeah, look, that's good stuff right there from Titus Howard.
Yeah, good. Hopefully we continue to hear and see differences, because we talked about this earlier. CJ had to say after the game was really, really interesting, because you know, a lot of what we're hearing, and I think it is strategic, is like kind of soft shoeing things or trying to be as positive as you can, which I can understand the tactic, but it seemed like this was the most honest statement that we got about the state of the team right now, coming from CJ Stroud after the game.
Yeah, I would say that. You know, we've had a couple wake-up calls this year. I would say, you know, we just got to honestly just play football better, execute better, stop pointing the finger and realize, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is not winning football, and we can't keep squeezing our way by every game. You know, we are a really good football team. We have a lot of really good football players. Once we buy into the systems and what is being, you know, coached, and also we got to be able to have leadership to take over. So, you know, I believe, you know, this isn't the end, but this is definitely a great wake-up call for us to, you know, tighten up the ship.
Yeah, there was a lot there to be of, like, hey, man, like, hey, we got to stop squeaking by. You know, we got to stop pointing fingers. We got to get bought in, and it's week 10. There was a lot there, and to me, hearing him say that, I have felt like, you know, from the jump, I'm not really sure I can pinpoint it. Maybe it's because there are major expectations and life is different now. But they have felt off and different from last year when it comes to just how they, you know, how they operate with just the intangibles and little things and off the field. There has seemed to be something off about this group, and CJ was very honest after the game, and that sounds like it is the case.
Yeah, look, I don't like what I heard from CJ. I love the fact that he said it, because that right there is, truth be told, to me, what we've been watching. What I can, and I don't know if this is what CJ meant, but I can what I've been watching is a group. Everybody involved on the offensive side of the football wants to keep doing what they're doing, playing football the way they're playing, and then tell everybody, well, we got to have better pass protection. Well, we got to execute better. Well, everybody in the league asks their tight ends to block defensive ends. Well, everybody in the league gets twists, and everybody in the league gets overloads and this and that. Everybody wants to quote-unquote point the finger at the offensive line. And I don't know. And look, they have earned to get a bunch of fingers pointed at them. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But what we've seen is we've seen a quarterback continue to talk about being aggressive and play the game a certain way. We've seen a play caller continue to call plays like you're protecting your quarterback at a top four level instead of a bottom four level in the NFL, and constantly talk about, well, we got to execute better, which means, well, the offensive line's got to be better. And in reality, the quarterback's got to change his mentality. The play caller has to change what he's expecting these guys to do, and the O-line has to be better. It's not just about pointing the finger at the O-line. The O-line has to be better. All of these things have to happen. And if I was a betting man, which I didn't have much luck Saturday thanks to Tyler Baggies, if I were a betting man, I'd be willing, if you boiled that thing down, what CJ just said, I'd be willing to bet you that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, they just don't have the same feel at times. Maybe it's just because they were in a rough patch. But it did feel like even their rough patches, they were more...
Well, Ron, you've got, obviously, when it's the offense, the sexiest part of your team, where the highest, he was expected to be a top three or four or five quarterback this year. He's not. The offense was expected to be a top three, four or five explosive offense. They're not. All of these wide receivers, all these weapons were expected to be this five-headed monster. They're not. And now, all of a sudden, the head coach is taking fire because of it. The quarterback is taking fire because of it. The product that is the Texans offense is not near as sexy as everybody thought it is, and damn sure ain't what it was last year. And so it's some adversity that they're having to deal with. They didn't have to deal with this kind of adversity last year. There's expectations this year that weren't there last year, and there's adversity this year that wasn't there last year. Or at least if it were there last year, they overcame it significantly better than what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Yeah, it's something different. Hopefully we see them get back to kind of where they were last year from that standpoint. All right. All right, Tyler, your best bets. Let's get them. T-Mill's best bets. Big Monday night football game tonight. NBA slate as well. What are your best bets? How are you going to make people money this time? And don't blame his Aggies, man. he's still making money. He did. You probably lost some money on that too, didn't you?
I didn't lose very much on the Aggies, actually. I was like I said, pretty nervous going in, so I stayed away for the most part. Had a baller NFL Sunday, though.
There you go.
If tonight's bets on this Monday Night Football game is anything like Sunday, you're going to be raking in the money, folks. So I'm going to list them off for you fellas. Clint, Ron, you are going to pick one of these six best bets I got that you would ride with tonight. Folks out there, get those pens and pencils ready as always. I got the Bucks tonight plus 10.
Is that the line?
That is not the line. I teased that line a little bit. Still liked the odds on that, but I got the Bucks plus 10. I think the Chiefs will win outright, but Bucks ain't going to lose by more than double digits, in my opinion, tonight. I'm on the over 7.5 points scored in the first quarter. That's for either team. If they combine over 7.5, you get some cash. Then I got four player props for you. I'll give them to you real quick. Baker Mayfield over 13.5 rushing yards. I got Kareem Hunt over 2.5 receptions. Xavier Worthy over 3.5 receptions. And my last prop for you is Patrick Mahomes, the kid from Texas, over 249.5 passing yards tonight against the Buccaneers. What do y'all like?
I like the top one, the Bucks plus 10, because like even when the Chiefs beat teams handily, like they don't the scores don't end up, they don't blow people. Like what the Lions put 52 on somebody, 52 to 17 people. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs don't really do that because Andy will just start to shut it down in the second half, even if they've got a lead. I definitely love Mayfield's 13.5 rush yards, especially since he's lost Godwin of them.
My favorite one.
He likes to take off a lot.
What's your favorite one, Ron?
I go Bucks plus 10. That's probably my favorite one. It feels like a 7-8 point game.
I like Kareem Hunt getting three catches. Easy. He'll catch two screens.
Let's get this money.
Two screens. I'm not sure what else.
Check two screens and a check down.
We'll see.
Probably a little backs right. Just run up, shake that middle linebacker, and hang a right.
Now you go ahead. And you can hear if you hit your best bets tonight right here on these airwaves. Thanks to Westwood One.
Right. We'll see. All right. Again, as he said there, Texans All Access. That follows the Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans, and then after Texans All Access, Monday Night Football, as the Bucks try to give the Chiefs their first loss. Chiefs look to try to get to 8-0 tonight. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I'm Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. When the day that lies ahead of me.
I walk over there this morning, boys. There are 7 pieces of bacon on this sheet, and every single one of them is as black as you could imagine. You can't pick the fat from the meat. We have never burnt it to where everything.
So bark on a brisket.
I mean, it's unbelievable, Ron. I was like, and she tried to eat it. She said, well, I'm thinking about crunching it up and using it in I think it was like chicken salad or egg salad. I said, hell no, you better throw that away.
You made sure she threw that in the trash, right?
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South – an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcasts.